For Chasm Radio, I'm Farm Director Joe Gill. Your Central Minnesota Farm Report this morning brought to you by Midsota Trailer Sales and Service. We visit with Minnesota Farmers Union President Gary Werdish. We had a chance to visit last weekend at their state convention in Minneapolis, and we are approaching a new year, but this new year is, well, featuring a lot of old issues when it comes to the government, D.C., the Farm Bill. Whether it's national or state, many of these same issues are going to carry over to 2025.
We were hopeful that for a while that during once the election got out of the way, the national election for president and other offices, that we'd get serious and come together and get a farm bill done in the lame duck session. Now that appears to be out of reach. It seems like some feel just a certain amount of them figure, well, we'll just wait and do it the next session. We'll get a better farm bill. Well, that's nice, but You still have the same amount of baseline funding they have to work with. So that'll, you know, by not getting one done in the lame duck, you know, it just slows. They'll have to pass another extension, which they more than likely will. But then next year you go into, they got to start the farm bill process all over again and hearings and stuff like that. Well, that's all good, but you still got to remember that you got, you know, a limited amount of dollars you got to work with, and you can't just rob from one program to increase another one. And the previous, or in the present Congress, the House Ag Committee did pass a bill, but that's really all they were doing is robbing from the nutrition title to pay for higher reference prices, and that's just not going to work. There wasn't even enough support on that to bring it before the full floor, because if there would have been support in the House to pass it, they would have brought it to the floor. They never did. So it was more of a messaging bill, I always say, but that's not how you get policy done. You gotta at some point, you gotta compromise. You know, sure, we would like higher reference and prices, but, you know, we got to find the dollars to do it. And you have a limited amount of baseline funding to work with. And I know the House and Senate, both leadership had identified some additional money they can put into it, but still not a lot of, you know, still limits what they can do. So, you know, hopefully, you know, there's right now the government is only funded till December 20th. It appears that they're going to do an extension of that. Another bill to fund it till maybe March or something like that. So we're hopeful that maybe we can get some ad hoc disaster assistance attached to that bill. Because there's some farmers, it depends on the part of the state you're in. Some farmers come through the weather this year with a very nice crop. You're dealing at low prices, that doesn't help. But then there's other parts of the state that extreme amount of flooding, so that a very poor crop. So any type of assistance will definitely help them. So that's going to vary on the individual farm throughout the state and their weather conditions, basically. But, you know, that's probably for his agriculture, that's, you know, we're hoping we can get that done, but, you know, I don't think we'll get a lot done in the lame duck either.
You know, Gary, 5 years in terms of farming and agriculture seems like 15 years to compare to what 5 years is in D.C. There's a big difference. A lot of things change, you know, in 5 years.
Well, it really does. You know, the present bill was passed in 2018, and, you know, we're looking at definitely dramatically higher input prices. And a lot of that goes to COVID and the shutdown, and that created some of it. Russia invading Ukraine created a lot of it too. So, I mean, that's the problem. You know, in as farmers, we've got dramatically higher input prices, and at the same time right now our commodity prices are declining. So you're getting hit on both ends. So, you know, it needs to be looked at in the next farm bill, and hopefully we can make some adjustments to make it a better farm bill and, you know, and include more people. You know, the farm bill, I always say too, it's also a rural economic development bill. There's a lot of funding that goes to our small communities for water and sewer and those type of infrastructure. That funding comes from the rural development, which is authorized through the farm bill, that funding. So it you know, it fills a lot of needs. You know, that is, you know, it's a safety net for farmers. We all understand that. That's, you know, it should be a safety net, so when times are rough, times are bad, you get a little support to keep your operation afloat. But it's also a safety net for rural communities too.
Gary, looking back in memory, when President Trump, his first term, and now there's going to be a second term, can we learn anything from the first time around? I know he took a very different approach to trade and in other aspects in agriculture.
Well, the number one concern that we have right now is that, you know, he's talking about putting tariffs on again. You know, we still haven't recovered from the previous tariff war that he put on in, I believe, 18 and 19. You know, we lost acres to what that did when he put on the previous trade war, especially with China predominantly. we lost, it provided an incentive for the Argentine and Brazilian farmers to put more land into production. That land's not going out of production. That's there. And if we get into another expanded trade war through tariffs, there again, you bring more, you incentivize those farmers to profit, and our farmers will get hurt. So that's probably our biggest concern. You can use tariffs in certain ways, but just a blanket approach like he's talking, that we have a lot of concerns on that, because that'll affect not only the farmers but the average consumer too. So it makes a nice talking point in the election politics point, but in all reality, it's not doesn't work as easy as what he's proposing. So we're hoping as we go forward that gets moderated some, but we'll tell. He'll get sworn in, and you have to elect various cabinet officials will have to be confirmed. So we're really in a lot of uncertainty right now. It's going to take a while to get all that done, and that's why we really were hopeful we could get a farm bill done in the last Congress before you get. We always said that as we went back when we extended the previous farm bill a year ago, well, a little over a year ago, we felt we had to get it done by spring or sometime in the springtime, because otherwise you end up in election year politics and you won't get it done. Well, that's where we ended up. So now, with a new administration and confirmation appointments, it's going to take time, and the farm bill won't be at the top of the list as far as getting action done or getting anything done. So we'll more than likely be operating under an extension again, and for a certain length of time. We're not sure how long yet, but still doesn't take away for updating a farm bill. So that still needs to be done. And compromise the last few years, or a number of years now, it seems like compromise is a dirty word, that you can't compromise on anything, and that just leads to bad policy. We need to get back to where you both parties and you put your issues on the table, you discuss them, and always relate it to like a farmer, if you're farming with your neighbors or with your family, you put your issues on the kitchen table, you debate it, and then you come to an agreement and move forward. And we have to get back to that at a national and a state level too. Partisan politics on both sides have driven wedges in it, and it's make it hard to get good policy done. We have to get back to where compromise is not a dirty word, and it's something that we can work with.
I always look at it, my analogy is a marriage, because you can be as bullheaded as you want, but at the end of the day, you're still living with each other and you still need to move forward. And yeah, you might lose a couple, arguments. You might win a couple, but at the end of the day, it's for the better good of the household, or, in D.C., better good of the, agriculture in the country. So you'd hope they'd get that kind of perspective too.
Well, I hope so. The farm bill is in the past, there were always more regional fights. And this time it seemed like it was more, we had some of that. We have some of that, and you're always going to have some of that. But it seemed like definitely it was more partisan, and that we have to get away from that. That just, as you said, it doesn't do anybody any good.
Gary, what are you hearing with members here at the convention? Are they tugging your jacket with specific concerns? Any of those a common theme, or what's the conversation like?
We spent a lot of time talking with the various speakers too. The consolidation and concentration is still a lot of concern to all the farmers, all of the members, and it should be. And it's a concern to not only farmers, but the concentration is in heavy concentration. The consolidation is really throughout all of our industries. If you're just if you're living in a small town and have a local job working somewhere, it's still affecting you, because probably you don't have as many local hardware stores, you don't have as many local grocery stores. That's all part of what we're dealing with, and that is a concern. If this rate continues, it just puts us all at a disadvantage. You're going to have just a few, whether it's farmers or companies. Right now we just have a few companies dominating, controlling our seed meat industries and food. We go into the grocery store, most people don't realize it, but you go into a grocery store, you see all these labels. You figure, that's really nice and attractive and marketing, but you get down, there's only a handful of companies that control every one of those labels. And that's globally. It's not just in the United States. That's globally, and that is a concern. Everybody, we talk about free markets and that type of stuff, but we don't really have a free market in a system when a few companies dominate all parts of our system. And that, I think overall, that's probably our biggest concern. As a farmer, you're always dealing with weather, you're dealing with markets, all that type of stuff. But that one's tough to deal with. When you're limited to what you can buy, who you can buy your stuff from, and who you can sell your stuff from, that limits your choices. And farmers just want a fair playing field. You hear that a lot, and that's necessary.
Yeah, in a world where farmers are the price takers, Gary, that's tough.
Yeah, well, we can talk back. President Kennedy had a nice comment on that. He got assassinated in 63, I believe it was. So we've been fighting this fight for a long time, and we can't give up. We got to fight. It's about building communities. Farmers, the more farmers on the farm, the stronger they will be, the stronger our local rural communities, our school districts, and it just flows all the way through. It's mentioned a number of times that the dollar a farmer makes gets spent seven times through the economy. The vast majority of them dollars are spent in the local economy, and that we can't lose that.
Minnesota Farmers Union President Gary Werdish joining us last weekend at their state convention held in Minneapolis. Your Central Minnesota Farm Report brought to you by Midsota Trailer Sales and Service.